is here. This week's year, it's 8 o'clock exactly. This week's year, here's Eddie. How are you doing, Eddie?
I'm here.
This year's year is dedicated by Bonnie and Eddie Jenkins in honor of the birth of the granddaughter, Ariella Charlotte, daughter of Akiva and Maria. And you know how old this makes me feel. I'm gonna, Eddie Jenkins, he still looks like he's 25 and has a granddaughter. Wait, it's crazy. You know, it's like, it must be the air in Efrat, the little Torah with a little architecture. Like, you know, I get old, you know. What's the advantage? What's the advantage of getting old? But somehow I feel a little old. Not so little. I mean, the idea, just an absolutely ridiculous idea. But I wish you mazel and bracha. I know you have a wonderful family. All your children are terrific. And Bati, I wish you. Are you doing anything in the rabbinate?
I'm teaching.
Oh, anybody
I'm
can.
Teaching and learning.
No, but you put your hands on people and bless them.
My children and grandchildren.
Okay, it's a start.
It's a definitely. Start.
So you get used to it. Watch out, you get used to that. Okay, let's start. Let's start. Everybody knows. This year is a continuation of last week's year, but I'll summarize last week for this week also as well. So now, everybody knows that Rosh Hashanah, one of the great themes, this is a Hanukkah shir. I know that. Don't worry. Rosh Hashanah, one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is Malchut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. The bracha that we say over and over again, Melech al kol haaretz. Melech al kol haaretz, the king. The king. And I think it's worthwhile to ask the question, what does Rosh Hashanah have to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king, or why the emphasis on the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Rosh Hashanah? Should we either say that God is the Dayan, the judge, or that God is the Rahman, the merciful one, makes it possible for us to live even though we don't deserve it? What is the Malchut? What is the Malchut, the emphasis on Malchut? Yes, it's true, God is the Melech. Yes, it's true that God created the world. Yes, it's true. I mean, you could say all of those things, and I don't quarrel with anybody who says any of them. I'm just wondering why this tremendous emphasis, and then the psukim that we say with Tkiat Shofar, the different story, Malchiyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. Again, Malchiyot, we collect all the psukim, of serious psukim in the Tanakh and the Tehillim that indicate the Malchut, the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we so caught up with that, with the Malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, isn't it true that it's true that we know that God is king, but I mean, why is it that I have to emphasize the Malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's a question. So we have this idea, there's a bracha, and then there's Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And I think that the idea of Malchut, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, takes a certain kind of investigation. Now, Malchut appears in Chanukah in several different ways. Firstly, there's the Gemara in Daf Kof Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara says, "My Chanukah." It's a brayta. My Chanukah. The Tana Rabbanan. We learn as follows: "V'kafei v'kislei, yomi de Chanukah t'manya inu." On the 25th of Kislev, starts a period of 10 days. Delo the mispeit b'honu, delo the hitanot b'honu. We can't speak about the dead, and we can't fast on these days. We know the story. when the Greeks went into the Beta, they kind of pushed their way in, and they defiled the oil, Tim'u kol ha'yishmanim, so that the oil that was in the Beit HaMikdash was not usable for lighting the menorah. Not usable lighting. U'kishe gavu malchut Beit Hashmonai v'nitzcham batku v'lo matzu ela pachachat shel shem. And we know that story. When the Jews came to the Beit HaMikdash, they only found one cruse of oil. I'm not sure what a cruse is, but everybody says that. We found one cruse of oil, and that one cruse of oil had to suffice. But the part of the Braita that I just read that is interesting to me is that the Braita says, "Kshegavru malchut Beit Chashmonai." Now they weren't Beit Chashmonai. Malchut Beit Moshe, they weren't Malchut. They weren't Malchut until much later. They weren't Malchut until much later. So why are they called in this Braita Malchut Beit Chashmonai? So we know what happened. We know that they won the war, and they beat the Greeks somehow, and they ran to the Beit HaMikdash, and they demanded of reality. They made a demand on nature. And they said, we're going to light that menorah even though we only have oil for one day. And maybe they thought that if nothing would happen, they would light the menorah for one day. That would be something. That would be an indication that they were thinking in the right way. I can't say that they knew there would be a miracle. I don't think that was the case. I don't think that was the case, but they lit the menorah, and then some wondrous thing happened, and the oil that should have lasted for one day lasted for many days for 8 days until the reserve of oil came along, and so Hanukkah was created. It was Hanukkah was taken out of the grips, so to speak, of a war. We were no longer celebrating a war, even though we celebrated, we're thankful for the fact that we were able to succeed in the war. Nevertheless, what gives the Hanukkah oomph and what makes Hanukkah special is the miracle of the oil. After the miracle of the oil, after this all happened, Matityahu and his family established themselves as the kings of Yisrael. I mean, you have to understand that this was all like BCE, right? Before the Common Era. Before the Common Era, it was 140 BCE. And so between 140 BCE and the Churban Beit HaMikdash in the year 70, it was approximately 200 years. Approximately 200 years, so that the war against the Greeks ushered in a period in which the kingship was largely Jewish. It was Jewish kingship. The Rambam says, I'll quote the Rambam to you. The Rambam tells the story. He says, Gavru b'nei chashmonaya kohanim agdolim. The Rambam says, the sons of the Chashmonai were great priests. V'haragum v'hoshiu Yisrael miyadam v'emidu melech min hakohanim. And so the Rambam said, you know what happened? You know what happened as a result of the war? You know what happened as a result of what the people did? This is what happened. Emidu melech min hakohanim. The Rambam doesn't say anything about that. He doesn't say it's a good thing, it's a bad thing. Oh, I guess he thinks it's a good thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't mention it. He says, Emidu melech min hakohanim. Emidu, the word Emidu sounds like it's good. It's a good thing. They establish the Malchut, kingship. V'chazra Malchut liYisrael. This is the Rambam. And suddenly we became a nation with a king. We're a nation with Malchut. There was Malchut previously, until basically until the Churban Bayit Rishon. Then when the Jews came back to Eretz Yisrael, they were not able to establish Malchut. That was 536 BCE until 135 BCE, where they were able, they looked around, and the children of Matityahu, they said, oh, we could do it. And so they did it. And the Rambam's language is Chazra Malchut LiYisrael Yater Al Matayim Shana Ad Churban Beit HaShmayit Sheni. So the question that I ask, and the question that you should ask is, what was Marintev from the Churban Beit, from the Malchus of the Chashmonaim? Why is he so happy about the Malchut of the Chashmonaim after the sons of Matityahu were killed or died? Then the Malchut was hardly noteworthy. The kings became bad people, and people who were not able to. But it was not only that the kings were bad. Not only the kings were bad, and so the Ramban says, the Ramban explains it to us. We'll see the look at the Ramban again. But there's more than that. A woman became the king of Israel. The Rambam says in Hilchot Melachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Hei, the Rambam says, Ein mamid in isha b'malchut. A woman can't be a king. A woman can't be a king. Shedemar, and he quotes a biblical reference, Alecha Melech velo Malka. That's a pasuk in Dvarim, right? Som tasim alecha melech. The pasuk said you should have a king. Ashe yivchar Hashem elokecha bo mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. It says it b'feirush. You should place upon yourself a king. Tasim alecha melech. Lo tuchal atet alecha ish nachri asher lo achicha. You can't have a foreign person king of Israel. That would go contrary to the command of the pasuk. And then the Rambam summarizes by saying, "Ein ma'amidim isha b'malchut." You can't have a woman. You can't have a woman who's a king. That's what the Rambam says. Now we know because we're all history buffs. We know that there was a woman who was the king of Israel, the king in Israel. And that's Shlom Tzion HaMalka. I don't know, I think she was named before the street in Jerusalem was named. And the point is that when her husband was killed, she became king in her place, and apparently she was a very good king. I mean, she wasn't a queen. I said at the beginning, queen is usually the wife of the king. It's called the king, but the power, the authority, goes with the title king. So Shlom Tzion HaMalka was a king. She was king in Israel. She was the only one there. She was very positive. She was a positive Jewish religious personality. Positive Jewish personality. Let me just... Okay. So you have these two problems. One problem is this true? I mean, what's the halakha? The pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech, you should place upon yourself a king. It doesn't say anything about the tribe of Yehuda, the family chosen by Yaakov Avinu to be the king of Israel. But this idea is belied by two facts that you have to remember. One is when the Jews came, when the Zkenim, the elders came to Shmuel and Avi, and they said to Shmuel and Avi, we want a king. And we don't know exactly why they wanted a king, but I guess they felt it would have economic advantages, it would have other advantages. That's what they felt. So they wanted to do the pasuk. They wanted to do the pasuk which said Som Tesim Alech HaMelech. The Rambam says it's one of the three obligations that the Jews had when they came to Eretz Israel. And they hadn't done it yet in the time of Shmuel and Avi. It had not yet happened. So they came to Shmuel and Avi and said, We want a king. Shmuel and Avi said to them, it's not a good idea. It's not what you think. You don't just get tax breaks. You also get taxes. It costs money to have a king. Somebody has to pay the bill. You're going to be unhappy that you did this. If you do it, don't do it. Stop from doing it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes and says to Shmuel, okay, let them do it. You'll go find him, and then you'll anoint him, and he'll be the king of Israel. You'll find him, you'll anoint him, he'll be the king of Israel. So who did they find? Who did they find? They found Shaul. You remember that name, Shaul HaMelech. You remember that Shaul HaMelech. Now Shaul HaMelech was not from the house of, was not from the tribe of Yehuda, and was not from the family, certainly not from the family of David HaMelech. He was a foreigner to the idea that there was a designated Melech in Israel, a foreigner to that idea. But Shmuel, who was a great prophet, anointed him, established him, made him the king of Israel, and he was a real king of Israel. He was a real king of Israel. And so the Ramban elsewhere, right, at another place, the Ramban asked the question, what would have happened if Shaul HaMelech had been a righteous king? What would have happened if Shaul HaMelech deserved to stay on as king and for his children to become kings after him? What would have happened to the promise that Yaakov Avinu made? Yaakov Avinu said, oh, Yehuda, the king will come from Yehuda. So the Ramban says this. The Ramban says, if in fact Shaul HaMelech had deserved to stay as the king of Israel, then he would have stayed. And his children would have inherited the mantle of kingship, as is the halacha with a king. He would have stayed, he would have. And so if you ask me, the Ramban says, if you ask me what happened to the promise that Yaakov made that the children of Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, will become kings, so they would also become kings. Would also become kings. Now the territory would be divided up somehow. Shaul HaMelech would get the northern part because he was from Binyamin. And Yehuda, the king David HaMelech, would get the southern part. A division that actually took place, right? It took place when Shlomo HaMelech died. Shlomo HaMelech had been forced, I guess, to tax the people very heavily in order to build the Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech's son, Rechabam, inherited his mantle. He became the king after Shlomo HaMelech. The people came to him, to Rechabam, And they said to Rechava, look, we can't put up with it. The taxes are too high. We haven't got enough money to pay what you want us to pay. And so we're buckling under the strength of your father's tax scheme. So what did Rechavam say? Rechavam said, whatever my father did and whatever taxes he extracted, I'm going to be worse. I'm going to extract more. And because of that obstinacy of Rechavam's, their kingdom split into two. This is the way that the Ramban said it. The Ramban said, if Shaul HaMelech would have been a desired king, then he would have, if Shaul HaMelech had been the desired king, he would have remained the king in the north, and David HaMelech would become the king in the south. But he didn't. Shaul HaMelech was not the righteous king he might have been. And therefore, when he died, David HaMelech became the king over all of Israel. That lasted for the reign of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. After Shlomo HaMelech died, then Rechavam, his son, promised to be more severe and difficult than his father. As a result, the nation split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and the king of the northern kingdom was somebody named Yeravam ben Nevat, who was also anointed by a prophet. The prophet's name was Achia Ashiloni, but that prophet, I mean, I guess he knew he was right at the moment, but Yeravam ben Nevat became a terrible king, and he re-established idolatry in Eretz Israel under the auspices of the northern kingdom, because he didn't want, or he tried to create a situation where the people in the north would not go to the Beit HaMikdash for their spiritual revival. And so he built in Dan and in Beit El, he built the two golden calves that were worshipped by the people in the north, which is an interesting fact, but for another discussion. So we see that the idea of a king, the idea of kingship, is like there are two parts to it. There's a part that anybody can grab onto. Anybody can become a king. Everybody can become a king. But then there is the promised king, the king that was promised by Yaakov Avinu to his son Yehuda. And he said, you are going to be the king. You're going to be the king in Israel. So then along comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, the Ramban says, the problem with the Chashmonaim and the kingship of the Chashmonaim was that they were Kohanim. They were priests. And the priests had a function, a national function, and that was to maintain the Beit HaMikdash, to maintain the service in the Beit HaMikdash, and to maintain whatever else is going on, it has to go on in the Beit HaMikdash, the sacrifices, etc. The family of Matityahu, their sin was the fact that they left. It wasn't the fact that they became kings. It was the fact that they left an important function. They let it go, that important function of being a Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash. And because of that, they were considered to be sinners. They were considered to be sinners. So I would say that the idea of kingship, right, from the point of view The idea of kingship, right, and Am Yisrael, and we could follow this throughout the history, the Yoshua and Shoftim and Shmuel and Malachim, the idea of kingship, even a king who is considered to be a wicked or a bad king, the fact that there is a king, right, represents the mitzvah in the Torah, Som Tasim Alecha Melech. It's not that the Torah wants a bad king, certainly not. The Torah would like to have righteous kings as kings, but the fact of a king, the fact that there is a king, there is somebody in that office, there's somebody who is, mentions to us, that leads us to understand very clearly, leads us to understand very clearly that kingship is it is something that unifies us. It creates the oneness that we search for in a way that other kinds of leadership does not. The King of Israel is the King that brings us all together. And so that when we say, on Rosh Hashanah, Melech al kol ha'aretz, we're referring to an aspect of God that is unique. It resides only with God. There's nothing else that is like it. And that aspect of God is the unifying aspect. Melech al kol ha'aretz. Melech al kol ha'aretz, that's one way, the one understanding of God. The second understanding, Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael. Whereas God has these two aspects to it. He's the unifying principle that makes the world into the created world, all of it, whether they have these customs or other customs or these religious mores or other religious mores, all of that doesn't really change the fact that it's only under God that you can feel a unifying principle. Besides the unifying principle, it says in the Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, Mekadesh Yisrael. There's a special attention that's given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that the Malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is divided up. There's the Malchut on the world, and then there's the Malchut on part of the world. The Malchut of the world, right? The Malchut on part of the world is the Malchut on Am Yisrael. The same thing is true. The same thing is true about Malchut. There's a variety of acceptable kinds of Malchuyot, even including the Malchut of wicked kings, of wicked people, people who don't understand the needs of the community. But there's also another kind of Malchut, you know, it's like this. Second-rate Malchut than first-rate Malchut. And the second-rate Malchut is the function. I mean, even a bad king like Herod can do positive things sometimes. He can build cities. He can build the Kotel, the Beit HaMikdash. He can do positive things, even though he is an unacceptable personality. But there is also the kind of king that changes the world, that makes everybody feel part of the enterprise, like David HaMelech. And then apparently that credibility was abused by his son Shlomo HaMelech, which then in turn caused the split of the king into two, of the kingship into two groups. So I think that if you look at that Gemara, if you remember that Gemara again that I quoted, the Gemara says, "Shigavru Malchut Beit Chashmonai." They're called Beit Chashmon, Malchut Beit Chashmonai. Why are they called Malchut Beit Chashmonai? Why are they called Malchut Beit Chashmonai? Because that's what they wanted. They knew at the outset that they weren't just fighting for mitzvot. They were fighting for Malchut, and that's what they wanted. And that's what they celebrated. That's what they celebrated when they came to the Beit HaMikdash. They said, let's not wait for the 8 days until the oil gets here. Let's do an act of a little bit of chutzpah. Let's make a demand on heaven that we should be able to start right now with the 8 days of oil that is necessary in order to get the Beit HaMikdash started again. That was an act of a king. They weren't kings as yet. Yes, that's true. They hadn't accepted upon themselves the roles of kings, but they understood that it was kingship that was the issue, and it wasn't just a cruise of oil. It wasn't the celebration of the fact that God could do it. I mean, of course God could do it. It's kind of almost immaterial to mention such a thing. God could do it. But what happened was the people understood there was a kind of a commonality of intention between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Hashmonaim. And that intention was to reestablish the Malchut. And if Shlom Tzion was going to become a Melech, but that was how the history evolved, so be it. So be it. It fits in the Pasuk, Shlom Tzion Melech, that it doesn't state specifically that it has to be from the house of David. It doesn't really state specifically that it has to be necessarily a man and not a woman. But you see that the fact that she was a proper leader and a positive personality enabled her to be the king of Israel, Shlom Tzion Malka, which that in turn enabled her to become a street in Yerushalayim. Okay, all the best.